Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Welcome back to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, if you're a parent, you've probably taught your children that prayer is important, and a family that prays together, well, you know, that's powerful too. Whether or not you have a family of your own, we as believers are connected as part of God's family. Imagine if every believer in our country prayed for our nation to repent and restore its God-given direction. The words of Matthew 18:20 come to mind, where Jesus says, "For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them." Today here on Family Talk, you're in for a treat. A fascinating conversation featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Policy Center, and Michelle Bachmann, former Congresswoman and current member of the JDFI Board of Directors. They're going to continue their conversation about some of the current events that are literally shaping history and to show us how God's hand is all over these events. By the way, Michelle Bachmann also serves as the Dean of the Robertson School of Government at Regent University. She is the co-chair of the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast and a former congresswoman from Minnesota. Well, there's a lot to get to, so let's join Gary Bauer and Michelle Bachmann right now here on Family Talk.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I'm Gary Bauer, the Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the James Dobson Family Institute. If you were with us yesterday, you know that Michelle Bachmann and I discussed some really important events that have occurred in our country recently. Today, we're going to continue that conversation about what's going on in America and what's going on behind the scenes. There's so much to get on with here, so let's jump right into it.
Oh, Gary, I'd love to. Thanks so much.
You know, Michelle, I know you're a student of history. George Washington, before he became president of the United States, fighting in the French Indian War, was in a battle in which he, among other things, had to deliver a message for his commanding officer to other troops. And this is the famous story, although I fear they don't teach it anymore in many of our schools, that
We do at Regent. do at Regent University.
Fantastic. I wouldn't have expected anything else. But when he finished the ride, he counted 8 bullet holes in his coat and hat, and yet none of them had hit him. And years later, he was in the region again, and an Indian chief that had fought on the side of the French found out that he was there and went to visit him and said to George Washington, "I am the best shooter in my tribe, and I shot you repeatedly, and you never fell off your horse. I told my braves and the French to stop wasting ammunition because you are protected by the great hand in the sky." Now, the interesting thing about this, Michelle, is that that event with George Washington was only about 50 miles away from where I believe and you believe God's hand protected Donald Trump from that assassination attempt. So God does act in the affairs of men, and I think he particularly has acted repeatedly in to the benefit of the United States.
Absolutely.
Michelle, can you imagine what would have happened if that assassination attempt would have worked? You know, people are saying Donald Trump was spared. Well, America was spared. And given the divisions in our country, if that assassin had killed the former president, I don't even want to think about where we would be today in our nation, given all the divisions that we have.
No, you're right. I'm old enough to remember when John F. Kennedy was assassinated. You may be as well.
Yes.
And we remember that all of America changed that day when the assassin's bullet did take out John F. Kennedy. America was fairly innocent up until that time, in November 22nd of 1963. After that, we were a very different nation. It took the nation a long time to heal from that assassin's bullet. That's why none of this made sense with what happened on that day in Butler, Pennsylvania, Saturday, July 13th, it's impossible that literally every safety precaution wasn't observed. It's literally impossible. It's almost like, Gary, remember during the Israeli war, you and I had talked about this, when Iran had sent, it was actually over 600 missiles, but over 300 penetrated Israeli airspace. These aren't small missiles. These were huge ballistic missiles. And there was a famous physicist who said that it was mathematically impossible that people weren't killed from these Iranian missiles. It's impossible. It was, again, we have been witnesses to the miraculous hand of God intervening to protect the Jewish people and the Jewish state in this very recent jihadist war that Iran has declared against Israel. And we've seen it now in Butler, Pennsylvania, in a farmer's field, where God, again, through a miraculous intervention, prevented candidate for the presidency of the United States, a former president, Donald Trump, from being taken down and killed by an assassin's bullet.
You know, not too long ago, a few weeks ago, Dr. Dobson and Joe Warsick and myself signed an open letter to President Biden when it appeared that he would be the candidate again.
Yes.
And we didn't attack him. In fact, we, along with other Christians, regularly pray for all of our leaders. But what we did do is express our concerns about a dozen issues that we believe every Christian should be deeply concerned about. The sanctity of life, what we ought to be teaching our children, religious liberty, and so forth. All of those things we raised with the president are just as relevant now when he's not running.
That's right.
But his vice president is, because she's actually further to the left on all of those issues. A perfect example is the sanctity of life. She became the first vice president to ever visit an abortion clinic.
Yes, and she's proud of it. She's proud
yes,
of it.
Yes, she brags about it. And I watched her speech at that clinic the other day. It is over the top pride.
Yes.
And the idea that we should have the right, this glorified right that is not in the Constitution, to take the life of an innocent child made in the image of God. But Michelle, that gets us to the other event that may at first glance be the least dramatic in this chain of events, but in its own way may be one of the most significant ones, and that is the visit of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to Washington, D.C. I've been in Washington a long time, and I don't think I've ever seen the leader of one of America's allies treated so badly by the Biden administration and by a lot of people on the progressive left in Congress. And I thought it was interesting. I'd like to hear your take on this. This was actually the first decision that Vice President Harris had, first foreign policy decision to make, and that is whether she would complete her role as the head of the Senate in such an event as this, to be at the platform behind the speaker, behind the prime minister. And she decided instead to speak to a sorority in Illinois and not be there. And I think it was a remarkable show of disrespect for our ally.
Well, you're exactly right. She was in Indianapolis, Indiana, speaking to the sorority rather than presiding over the joint session of Congress. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson had invited Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel to come and address Congress since the events of October 7th, when Iran essentially was backing Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, the enemies of Israel, to attack Israel quite clearly to bring about the end of Israel. This is an existential threat. Existential means they want Israel to go out of business. They want to kill all Jews. So this is extremely serious. As our JDFI listeners recall, on October 7th, over 1,200 innocent Jews were mercilessly killed in their homes in Western Israel. Also, over 250 were taken hostage. Among them are American hostages, who, by the way, many of whom are still in captivity in Gaza. So this was a profoundly important event that Benjamin Netanyahu was coming to speak to Congress. Kamala Harris decided to decline. She intentionally declined to be visually seen sitting behind Benjamin Netanyahu, because there's a movement right now, Gary. We're talking about a lot of biblical issues and what our listeners vote on when they go and vote. Israel is one of those biggest issues. And that's why we're talking about this right now, because the Biden administration wants to act like they've been the big friend to Israel since October 7th. The fact of the matter is, in actuality, they have denied the shipments of money and of ammunition and weapons, which Congress already voted on. But the Biden administration stopped it and slowed it from being sent to them. We have all of the negative actors in the world, China and Russia, Iran, North Korea. They've been happy to supply Israel's enemies with weapons, money, yes, ammunition. The United States is the big supporter of Israel. And so the Biden administration behind the scenes has actually slowed down getting to Israel what they needed to conduct the war. In fact, it's even worse, Gary. Last November, Vice President Harris, now the presumptive nominee of the Democrat Party for president of the United States this fall, she gave an unbelievable speech that I encourage every listener to listen to. And she told Israel in no uncertain terms that they need to effectively take actions that would cause Israel to lose the war and to surrender to the Iranian-backed terrorists that are trying to destroy Israel. It's the most incredible speech. She told them that the innocent people who live in Gaza, the Arabs who live in Gaza, they are not allowed to leave the war zone. This is coming from Vice President Harris. So we allow all of the innocent victims in Ukraine to leave Ukraine.
Of course.
When there is a war going on, this is true of any country that's at war. The innocents are allowed to leave. In fact, we call them refugees. We help them in every country except Gaza, this very dense, packed urban area. She said, no, you have to stay there. Why is that? She sounded like she was a spokeswoman for Hamas, the foreign terrorist organization that runs Gaza, when she said that they have to stay. Why? Because it is the war strategy of Hamas to kill as many innocent women, men, and children as possible. That's their strategy, because then they're viewed as a victim by the rest of the world. It's the most messed up thinking you've ever heard. But let's make this simple. When Benjamin Netanyahu came to speak to Congress to tell them Israel's plight, to ask for the economic assistance Congress has already given to them, to ask for the weapons and ammunition Congress has already voted for them, Vice President Harris decided she would not be present in the chamber to show support for Netanyahu. She didn't want to be seen as a pro-Israel advocate, but it wasn't just her, Gary. It was also effectively the head of the Democrats in the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi. She wasn't in the chamber for this very important pivotal speech. Chuck Schumer, the Democrat head of the Senate, he wasn't present in the chamber. All the leading Democrats in Washington decided they wouldn't stand behind the Prime Minister of Israel when he was speaking and giving what was one of the most eloquent speeches I've ever heard. I had the opportunity to be in the chamber when he gave this speech. I will tell you, it was a grand slam message. Congress was on its feet more than it sat down. It was one standing ovation after another.
Any American politician would love to get that kind of reception in a speech to the United States Congress. Michelle,
right.
I think it was somewhere between 30 and 40 members of Congress ended up not attending, all of them members of the president's party.
Of the Democrat Party, that's right.
Plus the staffs of many members of Congress, progressive left members of Congress, walked off their jobs, walked out of the their offices. And just a few blocks away, there was a mob outside of Union Station that pulled down the American flags on the flagpoles there, put up the flag of Hamas.
Which is a foreign terrorist organization.
Exactly.
That runs Gaza.
And then they attacked several monuments, including one of the Liberty Bell there. And there was not one word spoken from the White House or by the leadership of the Congress against what was going on in the streets of Washington.
Gary, you're exactly right. There was huge black metal fencing that was put up all around the Capitol building. I've never seen more police than I saw that day when Benjamin Netanyahu was there. And so what was it that was being attacked? The statue of Christopher Columbus represents America, the founding of America and what America stands for. The Liberty Bell was attacked, as you said. The freedoms, the freedom to speak, all of our First Amendment rights, that was attacked. This wasn't just some happenstance. This was by design. And so which side did the presumptive Democrat nominee for president take? She took the side of being for the protesters who were out on the street. She didn't denounce them. As you said, Nancy Pelosi did not denounce them, the head of the House Democrats. Chuck Schumer, the head of the Democrats in the Senate, he didn't denounce these protesters when they were out calling for death to America, death to Israel, and defacing the public property and saying that Hamas is going to come to the United States, drop bombs, and destroy the United States. That was their message. And instead, the pressure that is coming on Vice President Kamala Harris now is that in the upcoming Democrat convention that will be held later in August, they want the Democrat Party, which used to be a pro-Israel party, and in fact, they may pretend they are yet, but now the movement is that the Democrat Party would declare themselves against funding for Israel and against any United States weapons or ammunition going to Israel, a complete about face. We've never seen this before because, again, Israel was a bipartisan issue, both Republicans and Democrats. But now the insistence is from this group called uncommittedmovement.com is that you have to declare you will no longer be on the side of Israel. You have to declare that you will essentially throw your lot in with Israel's enemies, or we're not going to have the Muslims that live in Michigan vote for you, Vice President Harris, or vote for you in Minnesota, or vote for you in the other states with large Muslim populations. So for the sake of hundreds of thousands of Muslim votes, the issue of Israel is being demanded that be kicked to the curb by one party. And again, we're not trying to be political here. We're not trying to be Democrat, Republican, but this is what's happening. And that's why it was so shocking on the day when Prime Minister Netanyahu came to DC to address Congress, that the leading Democrats in this country refused to even show up to listen to him. And they refused to denounce the actions of these jihadist loving Islamic terrorist organization that promotes Hamas. In fact, these Islamic jihadists made their way into the Watergate Hotel where Benjamin Netanyahu was staying with his wife. They got into the Watergate Hotel. They let go live mealworms, maggots, and crickets throughout every floor, or most of the floors on the hotel. And they pulled fire alarms in the hotel so that the prime minister couldn't sleep the night before he gave his message. There was one peep of denouncing this behavior and these actions by any of the leading Democrats running for president and running for these national offices. Why? Because they don't want to lose the Muslim votes in America. So this is a moment. This is a watershed moment in the United States. In this election, we have never seen anything like this in American politics before, Gary.
Well, Michelle, this is exactly the kind of analysis that at JDFI we are committed to giving to the millions of people around America that believe that God is, believe that God's hand is on us and on our country and on the nation of Israel. These are confusing times, and there are forces in our country that want to sow confusion, that want to make it difficult for us to discern the truth. So we're going to bring you the truth at JDFI on all of these events, the ones that we've talked about today. And I'll guarantee you, I know Michelle believes this, and Jim Dobson and Shirley believe it, that there are going to be headlines coming at us even yet this year that will rock us to our very souls. And it's going to be important that we stay in prayer. It's going to be important that we make Election Day a Christian Visibility Day. And it's important that we find out the facts about all the issues and not depend on a biased media or others who might have other agendas. So here at JDFI, at Family Talk, we're going to bring you the biblical basis to help you have that discernment. Michelle, it's been great to be with you these last couple of days. Could I ask you to close our time together in prayer?
I would love to, Gary. And one final word I'd like to give to our JDFI listening audience is this. I think this is the first presidential election in our nation when we will see the use of artificial intelligence, especially in this fall run-up to the election in November. Just be prepared. The Bible says that we are not to be deceived nor fall into delusion. And so we're seeing now with the ability of artificial intelligence, we may see what appears to be Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, other candidates saying and doing things that in fact aren't them, but they will be presented as though they will because of artificial intelligence with video and audio. So that's why, as Gary said, what we need is spiritual wisdom and discernment. And so as the body of Christ, we need to know what is truth and then stand on truth. Would you join me now, JDFI and Family Talk family, as Gary and I and yourselves agree together in prayer for this day that we're living in? Oh, Father, we come to you. You are the author and finisher of our faith. It is you who created us, Father. And so we bow our knee before you and to none other. Lord, our times are in your hands. And Lord, just like was written after the assassination attempt, fear not. Lord, help us to not fear. Instead, would you give us your wisdom? You say that if we ask you for wisdom, that you freely give it from the Father of lights. Lord, would you give wisdom to our nation, to the people of our nation, how we are to vote, how we are to act, and how we are to specifically vote for biblical values coming up in this election cycle. Thank you that you have given us this nation and this opportunity to be able to express actively what your will is in this election. Lord, we pray for safety, we pray for peace, and we pray more than anything that we will come into alignment with your will. We pray this now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and none other. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what a beautiful prayer, Michelle. Thank you so much for sharing that with us to conclude our two-part conversation here on Family Talk featuring Gary Bauer and Michelle Bachman. Now, by the way, if you'd like to share this program with a friend or a loved one, you can do so easily from the Family Talk app or by visiting our website at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Now, as contentious as the political season has become and will continue to be for the next couple of months, we know regardless of who wins the presidential election this November, God Almighty still reigns in heaven. And yet that doesn't excuse us as Christians here on earth from not standing up for biblical values in the public square. Did you know that millions of Christians are registered voters, but they don't go to the polls during presidential elections? Let's be honest, that might have been your situation even last election cycle. Well, imagine if every one of the nation's believers registered to vote, prayed about whom to vote for, talked with their friends and neighbors about whom they're voting for, and then actually went to the polls November 5th. Think of the positive impact our local communities would experience, and the nation as a whole as well. Now, if you have a question about whom you should vote for or why Christians should be voting in the first place, we highly recommend myfaithvotes.org. This is a nonprofit organization that was founded about a decade ago with a mission to reach Christian voters and to inform us as to why our faith requires us to cast a vote in every election. Again, check out myfaithvotes.org. And you'll find that link on our website at drjamesdobson.org as well. And be sure to keep an eye out for Decision 2024 resources from the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute and the Dobson Policy Center as well. Together, we can make a positive impact this election season if we pray about the outcome, if we share with our fellow believers and our friends who are outside of the church how we are voting, and then actually go and vote November 5th. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for joining us today here on Family Talk. I pray that you have a blessed and peaceful weekend. And be sure to join us again on Monday as Gary Bauer returns to have a conversation with Dr. Owen Strand discussing the new Dobson Culture Center. That's coming your way on Monday right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.